that's when I felt like a bit of me came home. Because what I didn't find in the Eastern traditions and what I didn't find in Christianity or Catholicism was the feminine. And, you know, even though I love Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, all of it, there was something about reconnecting to these old goddess traditions that I was like, this is it.
You're listening to the Almost 30 podcast
with Krista Williams
and Lindsay Simcic.
Whether you're looking to laugh or looking for advice and inspiration,
we're so glad you're here. Welcome to the Almost 30 podcast, everybody. Roll call. I wish we could do roll call. That would be so cool. Welcome, welcome. It's Linz. How's everybody doing? If you're new to the podcast, hi, how are ya? So glad you're here. If you have not subscribed, rated, and reviewed yet, please do so. Subscribing, if I could say it, that would be good. Subscribing really helps us to move up the charts on iTunes. And if we are more visible to more people, Almost 30 Nation can grow and we can bring on more amazing guests and bring you awesome sponsors so that you can get discounts and stuff like that. So you can also go on to patreon.com and donate a few bucks a month to get extra episodes as well as our Almost 30 Dad Hat and other rewards. So patreon.com/almost30, check it out. This week is really, really special. Krista will be joining me for the intros moving forward. She is actually overseas in Croatia. I love seeing Krista travel. She is just like, it's intuitive for her. She does it so well. If you haven't checked out her travel guides, please do so at 100blog.com. She didn't ask me to do this. She doesn't know I'm doing this. So plugging it for you, babe. I just love watching her. I'm so inspired by her curiosity and the way in which she travels and makes everything work and the places she finds. And I haven't really traveled yet. So I am taking careful notes and cannot wait to start. So this week we have on Alexandra Roxo. Alexandra is actually going to be speaking at our Sex, Love, and Other Things event this coming Saturday, the 14th in Venice, California at the Sage Wellness Store on Abbot Kinney, 3 to 7 p.m. Get your tickets. Go to our website, almost30podcast.com. Alexandra is an amazing energy worker. She walks in the room and you kind of have to like take a pause and take a breath. Like she makes you take a breath, which is so nice to be around someone like that instead of someone who makes you want to hold your breath. She began studying spiritual traditions at a very young age, at 12 years old. She was working with her first spiritual teacher. And throughout the years, you know, 18, she began studying Eastern traditions. But she's always just been deeply connected to energy and meditation, very curious about auras and chakras and how she can really help people transform. So we are so, so honored to have her on the podcast. We had such an amazing open, as you know, very raw, uncensored conversation about her energy work, transformational sessions, how she helps women to awaken the healers inside of them to claim their voices, their bodies, and their sexuality. We also talk about her Moon Club, which she co-founded. It's an online community and space for all things magic to happen. It's really, really amazing. So go check out the Moon Club. So yeah, the conversation goes every which way, which we love. And she takes us through some breathing exercises when you want to ground yourself and have a man look into your eyes and really see you, which is basically what I want. So yeah. Let's jump in this episode. We love you guys. A quick word from our sponsor before we hop in. This episode is brought to you by Harper Wild. Harper Wild aims to empower women and take the BS out of bra shopping. Truly, they do. It is a free at-home try-on, which is different than I've ever experienced, like in my bra shopping life, right? You go into the store normally and the women hound you and then they measure you and they're like, oh, you can do this one with the lace and the silk and the rhinestones. It's like, no, can we keep it simple? Because like, honestly, whoever's going to see it, like it's going to be off in 2 seconds anyway, right? So their mission is to not only lift up your ladies, but also lift up the next generation of leading ladies. A portion of the proceeds go to young girls and to support their education. It's amazing. Quick announcement from Harper Wild. On Wednesday, October 11th, which is tomorrow, if you're listening to this podcast on the release day, Tuesday, October 11th is International Day of the Girl. And to celebrate, Harper Wild has partnered with our friends at Lyft to support the Girl Project, which provides girls in over 100 countries access to education. So if you live in New York City or LA, on Wednesday, the 11th of October, ride with Lyft in order to support the Girl Project and girls' education. So all you have to do is ride Lyft, and then you can enter the code LYFTTHELADIES, so LYFTTHELADIES, in the app. So it's amazing. I mean, this is kind of like their thing. They go above and beyond to help women and young girls. And Harper Wild is also surprising a few lucky women in each city, New York and LA, with free bras for a year and other fun goodies. So definitely take a Lyft, type in the code LYFTTHELADIES, L-Y-F-T, the ladies.
But you know what? I kind of knew what I was getting myself into, and I was a little bored. It had been a few months.
Yeah, right.
A few months, and I was like, you know what?
I feel that.
Very attractive.
Yeah, you're like, storms are brewing.
I was like, it's very attractive. Like, yeah. I can kind of like LOL to myself, right?
Oh my God.
Like, the whole time.
The story of my life. I literally fuck around just to LOL later sometimes.
I did. But then, you know, there's definitely like some little like, you know, skirting the line. And there was one, the last night we hung, it was just like bad. And I was like, that's it. And then I had like a little convo at Cafe Gratitude. And I was like, this isn't working.
Yeah.
So I
gotta go to Cafe Gratitude.
Where the best breakups happen.
Yeah. Well, I had two there.
Where they're
this
like,
year.
You are now single.
Two breakups at Grat.
And then I was dating this guy last month who maybe is still open. We'll see what happens. But he was like, we were gonna have this follow up conversation after we hadn't talked for 2 weeks. And he's like, how about Cafe Gratitude? And I was like, well, you know, the last two guys that I've dated have ended there. I don't know if that's where you want to go. And he was like,
you walk in, and they're like, are you doing it again?
Yeah. There's actually the same waiter, I think, was at both the other ones. He loves me, though. I'm there all the time.
You're like, I am whole without you.
Yeah, literally.
Thank you.
But the wellness
sphere. You're like, I am liberated, bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The wellness sphere, the wellness dudes here in LA, there have definitely been a few. There was another one who, again, owns another company with a product. I'll tell you off air.
Yeah.
And went on a few dates with him, thought he was great, really exciting. And then I was like, so what are you looking for right now? And he was like, well, you know, I like to live moment to moment. I'm like a dog chasing a car.
What does that mean?
I have most of those dogs get hit, bitch. I was like, what?
And most of them have shit sticking to their ass, so figure it out.
Who says that you own a company, you wrote a book? Like, why not just say, oh, I'm looking for casual sex, you know? Or like, I think you're great, but like, I just kind of want to, whatever. I was like, what? And that was the last thing that was ever spoken between us. I was laying in his arms. Just kissing as he was trying for more. And I was just like trying to, you know, clarify. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I think you should go. And then that was it. Never heard from him again.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
He's got to chase those cars, baby.
I'm like a dog chasing a car.
Good. Anyway, so yeah, it's an interesting world out there.
Yeah.
Being single in LA.
It's so interesting.
The time I saw the same dude you guys are talking about. I was in yoga class and I don't know what it is, but I knew. Well, I also knew because we're in yoga and he's telling the girl who's sitting next to him in yoga that he owns company. And then wouldn't shut the fuck up in yoga. Like we're getting down to Savasana, he goes over to the girl. I was like, this is the best part, right? I literally want to stab you. it's the best fucking part. Like,
So shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's when everything becomes like a caricature of itself here.
Oh,
and it's funny.
God.
So I wrote and directed this web show that I wrote it like 4 years ago. And it came out called Be Here Now-ish. And we premiered with this company called Aura TV. But it was then featured in like the London Times and Vogue and all this stuff. It was like 3-4 years ago. And it was about these two girls who went from New York to LA in search of a spiritual awakening. And this was kind of like at the beginning of web series. So it was like we were getting written about with high maintenance and Broad City. And And that show has literally come to life for me, which is like my character moves to LA and she kind of like becomes a healer life coach and she starts doing Kundalini yoga and she starts like meeting these like wellnessy dudes and she loses her edge and like whatever. I haven't done that, but it is my friends laugh. And when the reason I made that show is because the world is so funny. Like all of the stuff is so funny. Like there's another episode where my character, literally this is kind of like that dude. Like my character goes to this guy's house and he's like come over for like just like some breath work and like starts doing a tantric sex with her and is like it's just it's really ridiculous.
That's an amazing
she's
concept.
Like your dick is out.
Exactly. And then they do a couple's colonic while saying affirmations to each other.
I need to watch. Wait, is this online still?
It was ahead of its time, this show, I have to
say.
I
love
I was like
this.
Right now it'd be so rad.
Yeah, and it was like we put it out like 4 years ago and the characters do an ayahuasca ceremony and it's great. It's great, but it wasn't super mainstream, but it did get a lot of press. And then the second season, it also got like a modicum of press. We pitched it for television, but we didn't get a sale, so it didn't go to TV, but it was fun. So,
oh my God, would you pitch it again?
Well, the person that I wrote it with, we're no longer working together. So it was just like a Saturn's return project. Totally. It was like about our Saturn's return years.
Wow.
Like
totally,
doing all the things, exploring all the spiritual things and coming to LA. And
yeah. So what was like your big event in your Saturn return?
Oh, God. So many.
Yeah.
That's when I really was like, I am going to become an artist. I'm going to be a writer, a filmmaker. Full time. And that was when I wrote that show. And then I did this other show with Vice that 10 million people have seen where I worked at a truck stop strip club. And we lived there at this abandoned motel and filmed it. That we did make a TV pilot for.
Did you work as a stripper?
I did.
You're the coolest person.
Wait, that's amazing.
And so that was a weird Saturn's return moment.
So on the show, you were a stripper, but did you also work as a stripper?
No, never. But we found this place and we were like, this place is so cool. And the show is called Every Woman. And the point was to destigmatize some specific jobs and roles and archetypes of women. Yeah. And so we found this place and we thought, these truckers and these women, like, this is such a world that people don't get, and it's so fascinating, and these people are just amazing people like us, And so we thought, let's do a doc around it. But we didn't want to just go shoot a documentary and be outsiders, because we were like, we'll be taken more seriously if we're actually living in there, immersive. And so we did, and it was really crazy. But that was a Saturn's return moment. I feel like in any other circumstance of life, I would be like, probably not a good idea to live in an abandoned motel and probably not a good idea to like shoot machine guns in the desert and like blow up a couch with dynamite and like sit on old men's laps. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what was that like?
It was crazy, But during those years, I was like really kind of like, this is me experiencing humanity and being an artist. And I sort of always have been like that, but I went as deep in as I'd ever been. So it was really intense. It was crazy. And then we pitched it as a television show and we were developing with Spike Jonze and we did the pilot. And the pilot, we went and lived with these train hopping street girls. And at that time, it was like like 2 years later by the time all that came through. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do this show. Because, like, the whole show is super dangerous. It's, like, us doing really dangerous things.
Like what?
And one of them was, like, working in an abortion clinic in a state where it's, like, really controversial. And I'm like, wow. It was all really dangerous. And it was all women's jobs and women's experiences, which I loved. And I loved the one I wanted to go be a nun. I was like, oh my God.
Did you get to go do that?
No, but that was one of the episodes. I thought, oh, I'm going to go be a naughty nun. 100%.
I'm gonna have a short dress.
but I was like, now I'm like 31 and I'm less wanting to sleep on the street. And like for the pilot, we slept on the street and I slept under a fucking truck on the street.
Shut up.
Beside like the train, trying to hop a train. I was like, you know what, y'all?
That is like
girl. Yeah.
Shit.
So
what if you're like to the girls, you're like, let's just not do trains anymore. Like, let's cut the trains.
Yeah. Exactly. No, that was hardcore. That was like almost broke me. And then I was like, you know what? I think I'll like start doing healing work in LA.
100%.
I'll just, you know, do more of the LA stuff now.
Okay. So let's pull it back. Okay. So you started, you were 12 when you started to get into this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So take us back to you as a young child and then to like where you are today. I know there's so many, but...
There's a lot, yeah. So I'll make it the semi-short version. But like my dad's from Brazil, Catholic background. My mom is from Georgia. That's where I grew up, Protestant. But my mom's also super new agey. So she was always burning sage, you know, had Louise Hay's book on the shelf, like all that kind of thing, talking about angels. And I started seeing my first intuitive when I was 12. His name was Bobby Drennan. He's passed now, but he was amazing. My first real spiritual teacher who was like, this is what your chakras are. This is what your aura is.
Did your mom take you to him?
Yeah, she did. She did. And so I would see him every few years until I was 30. And I didn't really understand like that this is a huge value. You know, I kind of was like, I see my psychic every so often. But he was really teaching me a lot during every time I saw him.
Wow.
And I would call him and, you know, when I was like living abroad or doing something and ask him questions, he'd be like, all right, who's this Mike guy? You told me in my dream last night. You want to talk about Mike? I'd be like, I love Mike.
Oh my God. You're like 14. You're like, but I love it. I
know. You told me in your dream last night.
Yeah.
Did that freak you out? That he said that?
No, you're just like... It was kind of like already in like my, my languaging with him. Which is, it is strange.
That's cool.
It's amazing. Yeah. And yeah, my mom was like listening to Enya and Burning Sage.
My mom listened to Enya too.
See, my dad listened to Enya.
Enya fucking
rocks. Oh my God,
rocks.
Your dad's so cute. Mm-hmm.
Enya rocks.
Yeah, she still does.
She still rocks.
And then, you know, I've always been like a deep seeker of spirit. So even like I would go deep into the Christianity and the Protestant stuff. I like went to the Methodist camps where people were speaking in tongues and I would cry and like ask for Jesus' forgiveness and like just almost be really curious about it. And it wasn't like I was faking it, but like I was really determined to like feel the feelings there. And then I would go to Brazil and my grandma and her friends would be praying the rosary all on top of me when I was sick. And there was just always surrounded with this sort of mysticism and connection. And I didn't really realize that how special it was until I know that not everybody got that.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah. And then I got to college and that's when I studied like Eastern traditions and meditation.
At NYU, right?
Yeah, I met some of my gal pals and they were like doing meditation and doing vegetarianism and like kind of in that sort of world. And so I was 18 from Georgia and I was like, whoa, cool. Like I had no clue. Even though I knew some of the New Agey stuff, there was some West Coast vibes that they had brought to New York that were just very different for me. I was like tofu scramble every day.
Hell yeah. I'm still tofu scramble every day.
Burning that Nag Champa.
Damn, that's ahead of the times.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's weird. So, and during that time, I had my whole, like, I'm going to meditate and I'm going to, like, quit drinking and, you know, all the things. I studied with a meditation community in Italy and I was like, should I go to India and become a monk or Mother Teresa?
Did you think of that?
Yeah. And I called my teacher, Bobby, and I was like, you know what, dude? I got to just devote my life to God. And he was like, no, you're supposed to like do your thing in the world.
He's like, you're too pretty.
Too pretty. Sorry. You got a face for the screen.
Yeah.
But I did. I came back. And that's when I sort of discovered earth-based spirituality and goddess types of traditions. And I had this one teacher who was a teacher at NYU, one of my film teachers. And she was super into everything witchy and goddessy and fairies and all of it. And like we would do moon rituals. And that's when I felt like a bit of me came home. Because what I didn't find in the Eastern traditions and what I didn't find in Christianity or Catholicism was the feminine. And, you know, even though I love Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, all of it, there was something about reconnecting to these old goddess traditions that I was like, this is it. This is, and at that time I was like 20. I was like, this is what I meant to do on the planet is bring this back. And it's so fucking weird that here I am like 15 years later, and that I'm actually doing that. It's like, Yeah. It's a very rare, I think, that someone has that thought when they're like that young. And it's like, I want to help bring this back into the world. And then you're doing it. So it's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, there's so many different other parts of my path because it's like, there, you know, I've done a lot of plant medicine work, ayahuasca, peyote, sassafras,
mushroom. Do you lead those? Like,
I don't lead them. No. They're most of those are illegal in the United States. Okay. So no, I don't lead them. But I'm hoping there's this place that I found in Central America that looks really cool that I'm hoping to like take a group of women I either work with and then go help like lead integration work. So it would be like a retreat where people do the ceremonies. And then I help to integration because I think that like that's such a big part of it. I think people go to these ceremonies, they'll like get invited and go to this place and then they just don't know what to make of it.
Yeah.
And it's actually psychological. I don't want to use the word like disturbance, but it is psychological like Jenga happening in your mind. Yeah. And part of the reason I think with a lot of spiritual stuff is like people just dabble and like put their feet in all the different ponds and like don't really know what they're getting into and don't know how to recover from it afterwards. Or the aftercare, you know, so
how to navigate the experience.
Yeah.
So for our listeners, so what is ayahuasca and what is like
plant medicine?
Yeah.
So a lot of indigenous cultures use different plants as ways of healing. For ayahuasca in particular, in South America and some places in Central America, it's a combination of a leaf and a vine that have been used by different tribes for a very long time. I'm definitely not an expert in it, though I've sat in ceremonies, I've been led by other people, but it really brings about deep healing for a lot of people. And it's become something that's been a bit more widespread now in the media and just it's more spoken about. But like anything that gets trendy, it's easy for it to get trendy. And then it's not necessarily always about the heart or the integrity behind it. So, you know, but it's actually that particular plant has changed my life.
Oh, you've done it.
Yeah,
it changed
many
your
times.
Life.
Yeah. So it's really clear.
What's the experience like?
The experience itself is really intense, you know. Well, for me, the thing is like surrender. So if you're a person that like is pretty in control and likes to be in control, that's the hardest thing. That was the hardest thing for me, was letting go of control and really opening. I think that people who are maybe, I don't know what makes someone less of a control freak. I don't even consider myself a control freak, but like there's a place where your mind, where you know everything's in order and blah, 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 blah. And with that, you cannot be in control. And it's terrifying to be in that sort of a surrender at first. And then it brings a lot up when you kind of let go of the reins. And then the plant has its own spirit and all of that. So it's a ceremony. People sit in a circle. Different traditions do it in different ways. There can be a lot of purging. I mean, Chelsea Handler did it on her show, which was actually a very strange way to see it, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend watching it. But it's funny because the first night she did it on the show, she doesn't give up control. She's like, it didn't work because she has such a firm grip on things. And that happened to me the first time I did it. I like sort of let it have a little space, but I was like, oh, that was cool. And I'm like, oh, honey, those reins are tight.
Yeah.
So then I did it 3 nights in a row and I like, it got a lot. Huge self-forgiveness for me. Huge letting go of a lot of past issues around body image and things that I had done in the past that were still carrying guilt and shame for me in general. And it really like told me like, hey girl, you either do good stuff on this planet, like literally everything you say has to be for the good of the all, or like don't say a word. And I really felt that because at the time before that, I had been in New York and I was like kind of being cocky and I'd been interviewed on like Huffington Post Live or AOL Live or something. And they were asking about ayahuasca and I was hungover and I was like, it was the Tribeca Film Festival. And I was like sitting on the stage in front of this live audience and I was just like, yeah, like whatever, blah, 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 blah. Like thinking I was fucking the shit. And I remember this moment. I was like, wow. Like as I was like crying in this ceremony, I was like, I have to have more humility and more reverence. Like that wasn't okay. Which is partially, you know, in the show that I did, it's really funny. And partially we brought comedy to the situation, but we also thought we were really fucking cool.
100%.
So did you see it play back in your mind during when you were on ayahuasca? So it kind of like flashes. Like, how does that, how does it feel? What do you see? It doesn't need to be personal, but just in terms of like, are you like your eyes closed
and you're it's just a dark room usually. Yeah, you know, okay. There's different ways, but okay. Your eyes are closed. And for me, it's less visual because I'm less of a like a clairvoyant visual person. I'm more of a feeler. So I'm more of an empath in general in the way I connect with people. And so I get a lot of feelings and the flashes of feeling that comes up and comes through the heart. But it's hard to describe the experience. And it's definitely, if you have mental illness or something like that, it's like definitely an area where you really want to have a lot of care and someone really trusted with you in terms of who's leading you and your integration. But it has really been known to help people like war veterans with PTSD, like my PTSD. My friend made a documentary about that. It's incredible to watch these veterans heal. And
what's it called?
It hasn't come out yet. Okay. Yeah. But
there's more studies on that and like MDMA, peyote with PTSD.
Exactly.
Have you done Ibogaine?
No. It seems terrifying.
Yeah.
But I heard it's helpful.
Who knows?
Yeah. I have friends that have done it.
Yeah.
But yeah, all of that is like, it's useful to heal, you know, and to work through things that are causing barriers between you and being your best self. And it's not just for play, but if you really want to break through to the other side, whether it's self-awareness, self-consciousness issues, body image issues, you know, issues with your parents, whatever. It really, all of those things can really help you.
Did you have those issues identified before you did it? Or did they come up and you were like, wow, I didn't know.
No, I know my issues pretty well.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like for 5 years, I like worked on my parents and stuff that they had in their traumas that I was caring for them and how that all intermixed. And I think that like there is something powerful with people that are coming to the healing table and saying, yo, I want to heal. Well, guess what? You don't just heal your shit. You heal your parents' shit and your grandparents' shit. And it starts all coming through. And you're like the end of the train. And it's like, is it going to stop? Are you going to be the one who actually turns it around? And that whole turnaround process, that is not easy. That is not just like a year of therapy. And that sort of weird abusive pattern that your grandpa did and your grandma did and all of them did is just going to stop, you know? And that's where, you know, those medicines can really help. Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. I love that. I don't know if I would do. I'm a little nervous.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd like, you know, you like open up doors to like other dimensions and shit.
Yeah, but some of that stuff, I mean, it's like, I feel like people say that stuff, but I did not have like aliens coming and hanging.
Yeah,
all
you
the
didn't
time
like do an
stuff.
Alien thing.
No, I'm not really an alien kind of gal, actually.
Like I'm more fairies.
I'm more fairies too.
Yeah.
I'll take more fairies than angels.
Yeah. I like them all. I think there's aliens and there's angels.
Yeah. I'm just not, I don't know. It's just not my
You don't connect with.
Yeah. Aliens are like not my like brand.
Yeah, it's
like my brand aesthetic is off brand.
We interrupt this episode for a word from our sponsor, Hum Nutrition. So Almost 30 Nation knows a lot of you have got onto humnutrition.com, taken their short quiz to find out what a certified nutritionist at Hum Nutrition would recommend for you to just improve your life, to make you feel good from the inside out. We love Hum Nutrition. They provide top quality supplements, vitamins, and Krista and I are hooked. So our cupboards, we have cupboards, are stocked. I was saved this week by the Uber Energy, which is B12. I am constantly on the go, working out for my job, part of my job. And it takes a toll, you know, it takes a toll. But this truly helped me this week. So go to humnutrition.com. You can use our code ALMOST30 to get 20% off your first order and check it out. Let us know what they recommended, what you're taking, if you're loving it. We know you will. Hum has been our OG sponsor, and we just love you guys so, so much. We could not recommend them more. Humnutrition.com. All right, guys, on to this episode.
Yeah, so what do you tell us what you do today? I want to talk about what you do today.
So from the filmmaking, I'm still a filmmaker and a writer. I write articles online. I have a column called Holy Fuck for an online platform called The Numinous, where I write about my adventures in spirituality and sexuality. And I also write a weekly column for horoscope.com called Sex Goddess, which is fun. And I'll occasionally write for Mind Body Green or Well and Good or whatever. And then I direct. So I direct commercial projects or short documentaries, that kind of thing. The thing that I love that I started in the past year was I just felt like I wanted to share everything I'd done for myself with other people. And I'd been doing that in art, but I wanted to work with people one-on-one. So I did two things. I started working with people one-on-one in a capacity which I've called mentorship. And now I'm calling it more transformational work and intensive program because it's so intense that mentorship sounds kind of like easy breezy. And the work that I do with people one-on-one is really like calling them into the best version of themselves. So it's not like just like, hey, like, how are things going in your life? Like, how can we make it better? It's like, no, like, let's turn around whatever's not working in your life. And it's hard to describe exactly what I do with people, but I bring them into their emotional bodies, bring women into their bellies, into their pelvises, their pussies, connecting all the inside of the body energetically, like how that connects with the heart and the throat. Like, you can't really be fully embodied if you're not connecting with all the way deep down in your guts, because there's like a love body meridian that goes up the center of your body and connects those three places. So I do a lot of that kind of work with women one-on-one. And then—
Is that physical touch or just—
No, but it's intuitive and sort of guiding people into themselves. And then I have a project called Moon Club, which is a program that's a group mentorship program. And it's mainly women, though we're totally open to any man that wants to join us.
Steve, come on. Join the Moon Club.
And it's a non-dogmatic, non-sort of spiritual tradition-based space. Like, it's based off the moon's rituals. But it's more empowerment and making yourself your own healer. And empowering people to speak up, share their voices, share their stories, embrace themselves. I think there's so much out there that's like, buy this thing, call this healer, spend this money. You know, it gets a little like crazy. So this is like, come together as community, empower yourself, use the cycle of the moon to help you, because everybody needs a sort of container for guidance. I come and I lead rituals online. So we have 450 members around the world in all sorts of countries. And I lead guided meditations. I'm like, here's how you set your intention. This is like the next level for you. And then I work with people one-on-one on the full moon ritual. And then we have live meetups in different cities. So
oh,
we have,
love that.
Yeah, we have ambassadors. So like on Tuesday, I go to New York and I'm going to meet like our 15 New York gals. And like yesterday I did a photo shoot with like 10 LA gals. And
cool.
So that's, I mean, that's just empowering people to stand up. Like, I want people to share their voices and claim themselves and be themselves and let that be mystical, wild, witchy, whatever it is. But it doesn't have to have like a specific dogma attached. So that's been like a really cool space. And I co-founded it with Ruby Warrington, who wrote a book called Material Girl, Mystical World. And I've been writing with her for 5 years, writing for her. And she and I are just so different. We come from such different backgrounds. She would never do ayahuasca. And she's like from the fashion world. And, you know, she wouldn't talk about her sex life publicly. So like we're very different. But we come together and we lead this space. And it's just been really awesome so far. And it's growing. And, you know, the goal is for it to just keep growing so that in that space, people can be sharing and calling each other into growth. It's like accountability.
I love that.
Yeah.
For our listeners, like, if you could give them one or two things that they could do right now today to empower themselves to heal themselves. So maybe something they're going through, whether it's, you know, something sexually or something emotionally, just something they could do like today.
Yeah. One thing that, you know, a lot of spiritual practices are actually masculine sort of centric in the sense that they come from a place of structure and rigidity, right? Like, it's like, wake up, meditate 20 minutes, sitting meditation, breathe, heavy breathing, transcend the body. Just, you know, it's also, that's all, it's very masculine. It's rigid, it's structure.
So true.
And, you know, our whole lives are so structured. We have the freaking Google Cal, all this stuff going all day. So, what I find missing from women's lives is a space of surrender. I mean, if you have an amazing lover and you're just like getting fucked and letting go until you see stars, like, God bless you. But that doesn't happen all the time. And even when you have a great lover, like, maybe that happens once every week or so. And there's other places like you can really surrender. Like, you can go to an amazing like free dance class and like maybe you have a moment, like maybe you have 2 minutes where you let go and something incredible happens inside of you. But what I recommend is like literally laying on your floor a few mornings a week or even an evening and turning on like some really sensual, sexy kind of music, like FKA Twigs or something, like whatever feels good to you. And like putting your hands on your pelvis and like moving your pelvis while you're laying on the floor and breathing really deep with your mouth open and your jaw open and like letting your whole body soften and really doing that almost until you cry. And the way that you do that is just by breathing in all the way deep down, like as if you were breathing into your cervix and letting everything melt off, so that literally it's like you're clearing away the masks and the layers that build up that residue. And you're just like letting go into a surrender state.
Yeah.
And at first it might feel really weird and you're like, there's nothing happening, I'm just laying here breathing. But if you really keep breathing and keep moving in your pelvis, like I would lead something like that with my clients, but you can find a state where all of a sudden you're like, and using sound also, that's the other piece. So connecting sound. So then you're really connecting your like pelvis, pussy area to your heart, to your throat with sound and a little bit of movement. And then you can just soften, you know?
I love that.
It's like after you cry, if you go say hi to someone, it's like, they can see a little bit more of your soul. Like you've sort of opened yourself up, you know? So it's like, you don't have to just have a bad day to have that happen or whatever, have a PMS moment. Like you can also just soften more frequently and creating that feminine practice. Or maybe that for you is like, you know, skinny dipping, or maybe it's going to a pole dancing class, or, you know, maybe it's having your own like sacred masturbation ritual, like something that connects you to the feeling of surrender, you know? And it's funny because a lot of people do that with like, they're like tequila or whatever, you know? It's like, how do you let go?
So true.
And it's like finding a practice that's sustainable for you to let go, so that you get in that like feminine juiciness and you're not like, I'm in go mode, I'm in alpha mode, I'm getting shit done, I'm a badass woman. Great. But like you also want to be able to like, get into that like soft heart.
Yeah.
So that when you see that hot guy, you know how to like just be in that soft heart and let him see that. And you're not like in
soft
fucking
heart, soft pussy.
Exactly. I mean, with a nice boundary.
Yeah.
How did you get it? Like, how did sexuality become a thing, like a topic for you to like share with other women?
Well, when I was a ripe young age and I was going to youth camp. I was also making out with a cheerleading squad. You think I joke, but
the girls?
Yeah.
You're the shit. You were showing everyone how to kiss?
I mean, basically.
Hell yes.
Come here.
I was just always really curious and I didn't have shame around it, which was weird because then I was taught like that was bad and I was like, oh.
Sorry.
Oops, guys. No one told me.
Yeah.
So, I think I was always really curious about sexuality and spirituality, and it just felt really natural to me to experiment and to just to try things. And I think then I was told that I was a slut and that it was bad, and things
in
got
high
confusing.
Or,
However, I still was still hooking up with girls and boys in high school, even though I was in Marietta, Georgia, but like not publicly.
I know, I was going to say, Georgia, this is like...
It was really racy of me.
You were like racy.
But it was definitely under the table, you know, like no one knew, you know,
for
it was
sure.
Like dating a football player and then like, you know, having a fling on the side.
With a chick. You're the best. And you're
yeah, but then in college, like, I feel like in college I was very focused on this sort of, like, meditation, spiritual awakening. But I've just always been really curious and, like, wanted to read the books and wanted to, like, watch the films and, like, what are the top erotic films and, like, what are the top erotic books and, like, what is it like to use a butt plug and, like, what is it like to engage in BDSM and, like, what sort of states of, you know, and actually it really relates to spirituality or mindfulness or mind control or whatever. It's like, what sort of states can you alter your mind in, you know, or from with sexuality?
Like if you're meeting a man or even a woman, like where you feel that they are hard, but you feel like there's something beyond that. Do you ever want to kind of like open them up? And if so, like, how do you do that?
Yeah, that's actually an amazing question. So I've been apprenticing with these two teachers, London Angel Winters and Justin Patrick Pierce, and they're so rad. They are a beautiful couple. And they do this work called the Yoga of Intimacy that I've written about in two different articles. And part of what they do is this. And in the practice, like, you stand opposite someone and you learn how to help them open without using words, using breath and eye contact. And it's an amazing practice. It's changed my life and I love it so much. You guys, if you ever feel like going to one of their, they do monthly co-eds in Santa Monica and then they do an intensive 2-day workshop. But yeah, everybody has a beautiful heart under the surface and it's just a dance of how to get there. And sometimes, you know, it really requires like being patient, looking at them in the eye for just an extra moment. So if you like meet that guy and he's like, yo, what's up, da da da, and you can just like lightly catch his attention for before you reply and just breathe. And then just like, I'm good, thank you. Like you probably have pulled him in with that.
Pause.
Just open
presence.
Breaths.
Yeah.
And that just moment of eye contact. And those things are just things we overlook. And they're also hard if we're not in our body in the moment, if we're not grounded into us, if we're not in that like juicy feminine state, right? Like you can do that before a date as a really good practice to get into that zone. Then if you're in that zone and the dude's not, you can call him into presence. Like, yo, where you are? Where are you? Mm-hmm. You sit there and you're like, you know, he's looking at his phone and you're like, and you don't have to say one word.
Literally.
Like, but he'll be like, what? Oh, sorry. I did it the other day on a date with actually another wellness guy.
That's amazing.
But he, and I didn't even mean to do it. He went on his phone for a second and I just went, and he went, oh, sorry. I just, lunch break. I needed to check. And I was like, oh, it's fine. And it's funny because I'm just in the practice now, so I'm used to not responding with because otherwise you're just like head to head, like, and that's not sexy. You want to be like body to body, energy to energy.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's something I've been learning, and I'm still like apprenticing with them. And
I
it's
love
just,
that.
That's amazing.
It's so juicy.
It is juicy
so fun.
As fuck.
Yeah, it's so.
I didn't
now,
even think about that.
Now, if I like go on a date with a guy and he's just like wants to like nerd out, and just
thinking of like, sorry,
what? Tell me.
I was thinking of you on your phone, like doing. You know how the other day you had a story and you're like, no, like Justin told me no phone on our walk.
Oh yeah,
and I just pictured Justin doing a sigh, like,
oh, I know.
Literally,
like him doing the feminine,
yeah,
and him being like.
And you're being like, what, babe?
No, he always goes, you need a detox. Digital detox. Put your phone away.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean. And
what can you do?
And, I mean, what I love is, like, when a man's like, no, put it away. Like, but, like,
yeah,
strong.
Yeah, sexy.
I'm like, yes.
Or take my phone. Mm-hmm. Put it in your purse.
Yeah. You're like, what are you going to do with it? What have I got to do to get it back?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, but that dance of like masculine, feminine energies is something that I'm super excited about and that I've been learning about so much. And it doesn't have to be within a man and a woman. Like I can hold a masculine energy if I want to. And I do when I'm leading ritual because I'm holding structure and I'm leading and that's very alpha. But like when I'm like on a date with a dude, I don't want that. I want someone else to do that. I just want to be like,
oh my God, same.
I want to be like this beautiful dancing flower.
Me too.
La la la.
100%.
But you can't do that if the guy's in his feminine and he's kind of wishy-washy and all over the place. And like, you can try to call him into presence and, but sometimes you can't. And it's funny because like, once you've kind of like gone out with someone who like gives you their fullness and their deep masculinity, and that's what you want, and then you go out with the guy who's just like, oh yeah, whatever, like, cool, so this you do for work, oh great, like treats you like you're like just a homie, then it's just like, no, not the full flavor I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess thank God for those guys that did give you the whole, like, I mean, it makes it more difficult.
Cause, yeah, because then you know what you're missing out on. And I've actually had a girlfriend who gave that to me. So it's like, and she was so, like, so she was super butch. It was like when I was 26, super alpha. And like, would let, like, there was one time where I was at a bar and I was just like dancing to Nirvana and I threw a fucking glass with my friend. We were throwing glasses, dancing to Nirvana. And my girlfriend was so just cool that she was just like, all right, it's time to go. Like, she didn't freak out and she wasn't like, what are you guys doing? Oh my God, this is crazy. But she was just like, reined me in the most delightful way. And like, that was, I was just like, yes.
Yeah.
I need the space to be free and knowing somebody has my back.
100%. Ugh, have my fucking back.
You know?
No judgment, too.
Yeah, no judgment. Just like, babe, bring it in.
You literally are smashing glasses. It's like, let's go.
Yeah.
I'll smash you at home.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the only thing I'm smashing. Switching gears a little bit. I want to talk about the article you wrote on why women trigger each other and how to deal.
Oh, didn't you like that?
It was amazing.
Thank you.
Tell us the prem.
Well, I feel like I've always triggered women, honestly. Like I said, like in high school, I was like, you're a slut, you stole my boyfriend, you know? And then I learned that I needed to like be less pretty, be less sexy, be less vocal in order for girls to like me, in order for girls' boyfriends not to look at me, all this stuff, right? And so you reprogram. And like, I literally have been looking at pictures of myself from like last year and like how I wore my hair. And I'm like, part of that was trying to hide my beauty. And just for years, because I didn't want to outshine people around me or whatever. And so as I've come into my own more and more and just been able to accept myself as who I am and be like, no, like it's okay to be beautiful. It's okay to be sexy. Like it's okay to be whoever and however I want to be. I've noticed that like I will put people off and it's really sad sometimes. It's like, well, why didn't this person call me back? Or they'll be like, hey, you're too far out for me. Or you, people have told me you trigger me. And then I've seen it in other people too. And you know, and I'm like, fuck. Like online is just like a sea of triggers, you know, because everything that you don't like about yourself, you can see instantly within 2 seconds of a scroll on Instagram. And it's just, it's really, really tough. So, you know, I was just like, why aren't we talking about this? Why are people unfollowing, blocking, shit talking? And then sort of avoiding each other happens a lot in LA. Like, oh yeah, let's hang. But then you don't, you know? And it's like, I just felt like, let's just get real that like we trigger each other. And it's actually okay. And it's okay to be like, wow, that person has something that I really want. Instead of hating them, being like, well, they have something. They have money, they have fame, they have recognition, they have a hot bod, whatever the hell it is, you know? So, I don't know, I just feel like with social media and us curating our presences, curating our looks, using sort of face-tuning apps, like getting fillers, all the fucking shit that happens, like, can we be more real about, like, how we are actually impacting each other and just be straightforward with each other, you know? Yeah.
I loved it. Do you have a trigger?
I know, I was thinking about it when you were talking. Sometimes for me, it triggers me, maybe because I'm single. Like when I kind of see like the exploitation of a relationship on social media.
Someone just like blasting it?
Blasting it in a way that I'm like, I don't, it just doesn't feel authentic.
100%.
So I almost like want to know like what really goes on, which is fucked up. Because maybe it's beautiful and amazing. But like, I'm like, why does it need to be so out there all the time? Like, I just, I don't know. There's something sacred to it. Like, I'm sure I will have posts, like, whatever. I'm not going to be totally private, but I don't know. Just like, I don't really believe Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know that's a hard one. And the thing is, we're just looking through our lens of perception. And that's what makes it so...
I almost want to know more so that I can like believe it.
I know.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah. But that, that's the thing. Like this, actually, this guy that I went on this date with the other day, another wellness guy, he's part of Summit. And he is really great though. Hopefully we'll hang out again.
Call me.
But he was saying something about Instagram being like, we each get to have our hero story. You know, we curate our hero story. We become our own hero, right? And like, I actually really enjoy that sort of interpretation.
I love that.
It's like, it's not our loser story. And at some all. Days are our loser days, you know? And I really try so hard to show vulnerability and authenticity on my Instagram. But I don't say all the shit. Like, I don't, of course, no one's business, you know? So, of course, it's going to look more like glossy or whatever. And we're also selling things. So, we're also dealing with a marketplace. It's basically like, it's market, you know? But it's a market that involves ourselves. So, it's just, it's tricky territory, you know? What are your triggers?
I have probably people that are, but it's not like a trigger where I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, like I see it, but I know that there's like people that I know that they have what I want and that I will have. Mm-hmm. But it's like sometimes I'm like, they're further along in their path because of certain things and it makes me a little jealous.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, same. Fuck, if I would have done this sooner, I'd be there.
Right.
You know,
right.
Or like, and then I kind of make the things where I'm like, I'm cooler than her. But that doesn't matter. It's, you know what I mean? It's not me versus, someone.
Right.
So yeah, I have people like that that are definitely, but I think it's, I just love it too. Cause I do think it's important for women to think about people in that way as triggers and think about them, you know, as like a reflection of what you may want. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's like, what's important about it is it's like, recognizing, you know, that maybe my person for me who could be a trigger and they're further along in their path than me that I feel like I want to be my path someday and will be, it has nothing to do with them. Like they don't think about me. They shouldn't think about me. And it's not about me. You know, they're doing their thing and I should be thankful that there was someone to like pave the way for me in that way.
Yeah, exactly. It's not about them at all. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that the only time it gets dangerous is if we're like ghosting people or blocking people. Yeah. And I've definitely had some people like reach out to me and be really excited about me. And then at a certain point, just like never respond to my text again. Mm. And I'm like, all right, you either got really busy or you saw this, you wanted in on it. And then you were like, that's triggering to me.
I'm sure your sexuality, like your, I'm sure that could be triggering for people. Mm-hmm. Sexuality is so deeply rooted. Yeah. And especially for women who have been told to like hide their sexuality or be ashamed of their sexuality or, you know, not like work with their sexuality in a positive way. I'm sure that you could be triggering for people.
Yeah. Yeah. I think big time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I think that's good because I hope
for
that it
sure.
shows them like, hey, there's something here that I want to look at. Because I mean, so many of us are hiding like this part of ourselves that could have a like, you know, a more healthy perspective. I mean, yeah.
Absolutely. What are you most excited about coming up for you?
Right now?
Yeah.
Going to Burning Man.
Let's talk about Burning Man. Because wait, we had Ruby on. And then I read her book, and I read that part about Burning Man. So I have mixed thoughts.
Like, total meltdown.
Total melt. I have mixed thoughts about going. What, like, tell us your thoughts.
Okay, so I judged it hard, and I was like, I'm so much cooler than that. Like, oh my God. And one of my friends, one of my best friends, invited me to go many years, and I was like, no. And I still was like, I'm cooler than that. She was like, just come. She was like, I have introduced you. She's the one who introduced me to tofu scramble when I was 18. Mm. And many other things. Mm-hmm. She's the one who taught me how to laugh loud. She was just like an igniter of a woman for me. She's like, just fucking come.
Yeah.
So I went last year and I literally had panic attacks basically the nights before. I woke up in the middle of the night sweating the nights before I left because I was just like, I can't believe I'm doing this. What am I doing?
You're like, do I have enough goggles?
I was panicking about just like being in the middle of 80,000 people with no cops, honestly.
Yeah.
And no order.
Cops.
No cops.
Crazy.
No phones. I was like, this sounds like a recipe for disaster.
I'd be afraid
as
of
a beautiful
no phones.
Woman.
Yeah.
As a beautiful woman. I was like, this sounds terrible. And I've gone through different sexual assault experiences in my life. So that was my, I was triggered. I was like, how do I know someone's not going to come in my tent or follow me into my tent at night? People are on fucking drugs. Anyway. That being aside, I went, I had a huge fight with my friend we got through it because I was like, I can't go. I went, and the first 2 days, I was just like, so too cool. I was like, this is like, I'm like 15 at a rave. And I can't believe people put up with me, the people I was with, and that they didn't say, shut the fuck up and get out of here. But by the day two, I think, I was sitting outside at this little thing, and there was this woman like singing, ha, 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 like doing a sound bath. Okay. This was like her, like, ha, na, na, na. And like, I was like, this is awful. Why am I here? And I was just looking at these people and I was hating everyone.
Yeah, you're like, I just want to party.
And then I like broke through and I cried.
Oh.
And my friends were like, what's up? And I was like, I hate that I'm here. I was like, can't believe I spent money to come here. And I got it all out and I cried. And it was really literally a barrier between me and connection. It wasn't about the people. It wasn't about the stupid girl doing the sound bath or the feather headdress or whatever the hell people were doing. It was just a barrier between me and connection and me and experience. And once I got through that, I had the most amazing time.
Yeah.
It was just like deep, magical everything. And it's
something
that you just can't get from a photo. It's imagine if you watch a movie and you see a sex scene and you're like, that's sex, right? Like, no, movies don't portray sex well.
So true.
It feels like something's totally, like that, you can't watch a sex scene and feel it. If you see a picture of Burning Man, it's not. It just isn't.
Mm.
So, and it's like being in a vortex for a week where everything is possible, where you literally can think something and be like, I really would love this. And it just shows up and it's weird. And there's no money for a week. And so you live in a world with no money, no time, no schedule. And you just like connect with people, not based on commerce, not based on who knows who.
Love that.
Not based on social media. And and lessons come up and you come through breakthroughs. And last year when I came back, I looked at my social media the other night. I was laying in bed and I was like reading my post from Post Burning Man. And I was so funny and I was so raw and I was so real. And I wasn't like watered down with like a bunch of like spiritual, like blah, like all the stuff people say all the time. Surrender, let go, all this stuff. I was just like real.
Yeah.
So anyway, I would recommend it.
You'll have to come back and tell us about it. I'd love to like hear about it.
Yeah, post-burner.
Post-burner. How can people find you and connect with you?
So please find
me. Join Moon Club.
Yeah, you can join Moon Club on moonclub.co.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to come to a ritual for free, you can message me on Instagram or you can email my assistant.
What's your handle?
My Instagram is at Alexandra Roxo. That's Alexandra, R-O-X-O. And yeah, come to Moon Club Ritual. I also work with clients one-on-one. I do one-off sessions at Women's Space here in LA and on Skype. And then I do 3-month intensive programs for people that really want to like kickstart and jumpstart and get it all going.
So good.
I love it.
So good.
I can talk to you all day.
Yeah, literally all day.
We should have a full episode about you and the train girls.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Literally.
And you and the Vice thing. Like, there's so much to talk about.
Lots to unwrap.
Oh God, you guys.
Good. Friendship starts
Volume
now.
Volume one.
Thank you.
Thanks, baby.
For being here.
For
so good.
Me.
Thanks, guys, for rating and reviewing and subscribing and doing all of that good stuff.
And spreading the word.
And spreading the word and sending to your friends. We'll see you later.
Love ya.
Bye. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode, everyone. Thank you so much for subscribing, rating, and reviewing. If you love this episode, please share it with your friends. Share it with us on social media. We always check our DMs and who's tagging us, and we will repost it for sure. We would like to thank podcastmasters.net for editing our episodes. Thanks so much to Chloe Money, our producer, who's just the baddest chick in the game, and to our Almost 30 Nation. This is why we do it, guys. You are the reason why we do this. So thank you so much for your support, creating a loving, open, vulnerable, and just like magical community. So thank you, thank you, thank you. If you are in LA and want to come to our event this Saturday, October 14th, Sex, Love, and Other Things event at Sage Wellness on Abbot Kinney, go to our website, almost30podcast.com, go to the events tab, and you can buy your tickets there. We are just about to sell out, so we'd love to see you. All right, guys, hope you have the best week. Until next time.